morning we're going to take a little help from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And wanted to go back because he has Bhanuswami translated his commentary and it's printed, and he very kindly gave me a copy that I could carry electronically because it's a lot of books. I want to go back a little bit with a little it adds clarity to what's taking place. Vidura is asking Maitreya about the sub-creation or Visarga or Brahma and what Brahma did after certain stages of the creation. And Maitreya is responding. Starting with text 12. He goes back, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, to create the context, he goes back to Sarga, what Lord Vishnu does, and then Brahma appears, and then Brahma does. If you remember back in text 12, the Mahatattva arose from Prakriti, or Pradhan, by the agitation of time, the Lord, the force of activity of the living entities, Kriya Shakti, and all those three through the Lord's glance. Then, so the elements separate out. Then the next, text 14, these elements. His translation is a little different than Prabhupada's, but these elements of the Mahatattva, which individually could not create, were combined together by the energy of the Lord and created the golden egg of the universe. His commentary, the elements joined together by the addition of the energy of the Lord. Prabhupada gave his explanation, so I don't need to repeat that. Text 15. The universe, without life, lay in the Karna ocean for over 1,000 years. Then the Lord inhabited it. So Mahavishnu or Karna Dakshay Vishnu is in his yoga nidra condition, enjoying eternal pastimes with Rama Devi while the universes are floating for over 1,000 years. And the living entities, the jivas, are still in their susupti state. Then, the next, text 16, from the navel of Vishnu arose a lotus shining like 1,000 suns, which was the abode of all the jivas. So, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu enters. With him he takes a portion of the living entities, and then those living entities are going to start to awaken. They appear within, because the lotus, the stem of the lotus and the lotus, and they're very effulgent. Prabhupada's comment is this indicates, like the Brahma Jyoti is there as the effulgence of the Lord, the effulgence of the stems, the effulgence of the jivas. And then from the lotus, at the top of the lotus, is Lord Brahma. So now, that's like background to get us to the answer of the question. Kapila's answering the question, or Kardama's asking the question. Maitreya is answering the question. Okay, so, where we ended up last was, from first, Brahma created ignorance of five types by his shadow. Tamas, Moha, Mahatamas, Tamishra, and Antatamishra. Interesting little different twist in the purport or commentary. In creating the yakshas, rakshasas, devatas, and humans, false identity must arise in the jivas. False ego has it's got to do its thing. So living entities are in the stem, effulgent as 1,000 suns, stem of the lotus. Brahma appears, and now the living entities need to be covered by false ego. So Brahma creates false ego. He created ignorance in five types by his shadow. So then it's mentioning that four different categories, yakshas, rakshasas, devatas, and humans, the living entities are going to go to those different destinies because of their previous karma, but you have to have false ego, and so without ignorance, it is not possible to be situated in these different positions. Thus, first, the functions of ignorance appeared on their own through Brahma. Like you were saying, they're sequential. Tamas is the original form of ignorance. This verse describes how Brahma created them from tamas, which took the form of a shadow in succession. Tamas, moha, maha moha, tamishra, and antatamishra were created. Tamas means ignorance. Moha means egoism. Maha moha means attachment. Tamishra means hatred. Antatamishra means absorption in material pleasure. So now I'm going to go to Prabhupada's translations and purport for the next, from text 19 to 26. So we'll be discussing. I'll read what Prabhupada has translated, and then we'll go to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and together I find it helpful. So text 19, which has no purport. Out of disgust, because he created all these things out of ignorance, he didn't like it. Out of disgust, Brahma threw off the body of ignorance, and taking this opportunity, yakshas and rakshasas sprang for possession of the body, which continued to exist in the form of night. Night is the source of hunger and thirst. No purport. Text 20. Overpowered by hunger and thirst, they ran to devour Brahma from all sides and cried, "Spare him not! Eat him up!" Exclamation point. Purport. The representatives of the yakshas and rakshasas still exist in some countries of the world. It is understood that such uncivilized men take pleasure in killing their own grandfather and holding a love feast by roasting the bodies. Text 21. Brahma, the head of the demigods, full of anxiety, asked them, "Do not eat me, but protect me. You are born from me and have become my sons. Therefore, you are yakshas and rakshasas." Unquote. Purport. The demons, who were born from the body of Brahma, were called yakshas and rakshasas because some of them cried that Brahma should be eaten and others cried that he should not be protected. The ones who said that he should be eaten were called yakshas, and the ones who said that he should not be protected became rakshasas, man-eaters. Six of one, half a dozen of the other. Eat him, don't protect him. Don't protect him, eat him. The two, or the yakshas and rakshasas, are the original creation by Brahma, and are represented even until today in the uncivilized men who are scattered all over the universe. They are born of the mode of ignorance, and therefore, because of their behavior, they are called rakshasas, or man-eaters. Text 22. He then created the chief demigods, who were shining with the glory of goodness. He dropped before them the effulgent form of daytime, and the demigods sportingly took possession of it. Purport, demons were born from the creation of night, and the demigods were born from the creation of day. In other words, demons, like the yakshas and rakshasas, are born of the quality of ignorance, and demigods are born of the quality of goodness. Text 23. Lord Brahma then gave birth to the demons from his buttocks, and they were very fond of sex. Because they were too lustful, they approached him for copulation. Purport. Sex life is in the background of material existence. Here also it is repeated that demons are very fond of sex life. The more one is freed from the desire for sex, the more he is promoted to the level of the demigods. The more one is inclined to enjoy sex, the more he is degraded to the level of demoniac life. Text 24. The worshipful Brahma first laughed at their stupidity, but finding the shameless asuras close upon him, he grew indignant and ran in great haste out of fear. Purport. Sexually inclined demons have no respect for their father, and the best policy for a saintly father like Brahma is to leave such demoniac sons. Text 25. He approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who bestows all boons and who dispels the agony of his devotees and of those who take shelter of his lotus feet. He manifests his innumerable transcendental forms for the satisfaction of his devotees. And very nice purport by Prabhupada. Here the words bhaktanam anurupatma darshanam mean that the personality of Godhead manifests his multiforms according to the desires of the devotees. For example, Hanumanji, Virangaji, wanted to see the form of the Lord as the personality of Godhead Ramachandra, whereas other Vaishnavas want to see the form of Radha Krishna, and still other devotees want to see the form of the Lord as Lakshmi Narayana. The Mayavad philosophers think that although these forms are assumed by the Lord just as the devotees desire to see him, actually he is impersonal. From Brahma Samhita, however, we can understand that this is not so, for the Lord has multi-forms. It is said in the Brahma Samhita, Advaitam Achyutam. The Lord does not appear before the devotees because of the devotees' imagination. Brahma Samhita further explains that the Lord has innumerable forms. Ramadi Murtishukala Niyamena Tishtan. He exists in millions and millions of forms. There are 8,400,000 species of living entities, but the incarnations of the Supreme Lord are innumerable. In the Bhagavatam it is stated that as the waves in the sea cannot be counted but appear and disappear continually, the incarnations and forms of the Lord are innumerable. A devotee is attached to a particular form, and it is that form which he worships. We have just described the first appearance of the boar within this universe. There are innumerable universes, and somewhere or other, the boar form is now existing. All the forms of the Lord are eternal. It is the devotee's inclination to worship a particular form, and he engages in devotional service to that form. In a verse in the Ramayana, Hanuman, the great devotee of Ram, said, quote, "I know that there is no difference between Sitaram and Lakshmi Narayan forms of the Supreme Personality Godhead, but nevertheless the forms of Ram and Sita has absorbed my affection and love. Therefore, I want to see the Lord in the forms of Ram and Sita." Unquote. Similarly, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas love the forms of Radha and Krishna, and Krishna and Rukmini at Dwaraka. The words Bhaktanam Anurupatma Darshanam mean that the Lord is always pleased to favor the devotee in the particular form in which the devotee wants to worship and render service unto him. In this verse, it is stated that Brahma approached Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This form of the Lord is Shirodakshayi Vishnu. Whenever there is some trouble and Brahma has to approach the Lord, he can approach Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, and it is the grace of the Lord that whenever Brahma approaches about disturbances in the universe, the Lord gives him relief in so many ways. And the last verse is 26. Lord Brahma, approaching the Lord, addressed him thus, "My Lord, please protect me from these sinful demons who were created by me under your order. They are infuriated by an appetite for sex and have come to attack me." Purport. It appears here, interesting, purport, it appears here that the homosexual appetite of males for each other is created in this episode of the creation of the demons by Brahma. Heavy sentence. In other words, the homosexual appetite of a man for another man is demoniac, and it is not for any sane male in the ordinary course of life. Not popular in the world of liberality today. But Prabhupada didn't mind not being popular. Here is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Of course, you know, his audience for whom he's writing is not, you know, Kali Yuga hadn't progressed so far as it has today. So here's the translation and commentary. It helps illuminate the subject. Text 19. We're going to go to 26 again. Translation. Not satisfied with his body, which became full of ignorance, Brahma gave up that body. The body transformed into night, which gives rise to hunger and thirst. Yakshas and Rakshasas respected the night. Commentary. Long. Brahma was not pleased with the shadow body. Quote, "Ah, I have been covered with ignorance at the beginning of creation." Criticizing himself, he gave up that body. He rejected. That rejected body became night. The demons who had arisen from Brahma at that time accepted the night. This means that avidya and adharma, avarana and vikshepa, are superior to the yakshas and rakshasas. Then Brahma gave up that body, which produced hunger and thirst. Shruti says, sa tamishra bhavet, or that became tamishra. When it says that Brahma gave up his body, it means that he gave up the mentality of that body. since Brahma lives for 100 years. The sequence is as follows. Now he's repeating, like a little review. First, tamas arose. Anger and the rest, comma, the mentality arising from tamas, comma, appeared from the mind of Brahma. So those other ones. Moha, Mahamoha, etc. From that, the yakshas and rakshasas appeared. That mentality of tamas, which Brahma rejected, when Brahma rejected it, then became the night. The yakshas and rakshasas accepted it. So there's a sequence, one after the next. Paragraph. Though Brahma accepted and rejects different bodies by his power of yoga to carry out creation, this does not disrupt his life of 100 years. Some also say that even the devatas, like Indra, accept and reject bodies for material enjoyment. So he's stated this twice now. It's perhaps, or even apparently, a conception that was prevalent at the time, so he's addressing the conception that says Brahma gave up such and such body that shouldn't be taken like he died and something like that, because he lives for 100 years. So it's indicating that he's saying he gave up the mentality, because Brahma is so powerful, just by a thought something appears. And just imagine if whatever we thought, it appeared. Yikes. And his case is different. He's creating. So he's acting entirely under the direction and the empowerment and the will of the Lord. But, these yakshas and rakshasas, and then the next, the demigods, and then the next, these lustful demons. It's all part of creation. There's living entities within the stem, and they're going to have to resume their former position. So he's doing that. He's giving them their position. So text 20. The yakshas and rakshasas, being afflicted with hunger and thirst, pursued Brahma to devour him. Pained by hunger and thirst, they said, "Do not protect him. Eat him." Not very nice. Text 21. Frightened, Brahma said, "Oh, yakshas and rakshasas, you are my sons. Do not eat me, protect me." Shining with his effulgence, Brahma then created the chief devatas. Doesn't say what happened. I guess they left him alone or something. Shining with his effulgence, Brahma then created the chief devatas. The devatas accepted that effulgence, which Brahma gave up, and which became the day. And they played with it. Purport. Brahma shone with an effulgent body composed of sattva. He created the chief devatas. They accepted that effulgence, that effulgent body, which he gave up, which took the form of the day. Why? They accepted the day in order to play with it, just as at night the night resides with the yakshas and rakshasas, the day is the abode of the devatas. Jiva Goswami says, div, belonging to the C-U-R class of verbs, means to wish for. The devatas wished for or requested the day. Purity, the mentality of sattva, appeared in the mind of Brahma. From that, the devatas appeared. That purity became the day. The devatas then accepted the day. That is the sequence. Just a few more. Then comes the daityas. Brahma created the daityas from his buttocks. They were lusty for women, and desiring sex pursued Brahma. Apparently there were no women. Then in Brahma's mind, lust, the mentality of Rajas appeared. So Tamas, Sattva, and Rajas, for the purpose of creation, to give living entities of, you know, bodies and so forth. So in his mind, lust, the mentality of Rajas, appeared. From that, the demons appeared. That mentality became the sandhya. The demons accepted that sandhya. A devan refers to the demons. Shruti says, he created the demons from his buttocks. From lust arises great evil. Semicolon. They pursued Brahma. Brahma first, translation, text 24. Brahma first laughed, and then, on being pursued by the shameless demons, he became angry. Becoming frightened, he fled. Text 25. He then approached the Supreme Lord, giver of benedictions, who removes suffering from the surrendered souls and reveals himself according to the devotee's desire to give them mercy. Prabhupada gave his very long purport. His is short. Brahma mentally approached the Lord and then made a request. This is understood but not stated. That's Vishwanath's commentary. And then 26, the end. O Supreme Soul, O Lord, by your order I created the offspring. These sinful beings are chasing me for sex. Please protect me. Commentary. They desire sex even though I am a male. You know what Prabhupada's commentary was. So, who would have guessed that the beginning of creation looked like this? If you had to create a universe, would you do it like that? I don't think so. But this same Srimad Bhagavatam that's giving us what it's giving us, it's giving us the absolute truth, it's giving us Sankhya philosophy, it's giving us cosmology, it's giving us the pastimes of the various incarnations of the Supreme Lord. It's giving us this description of creation. And now this is the sub-creation. Brahma appearing atop the lotus flower, emanating from the navel of Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and, you know, without lots of steps in between, he's now ready to do the act of creation. Specifically, Vishwanath says, when he's recreating the planets, it's even with the same names. So they're these up to the heavenly planets during the night of Brahma, they're all dissolved, engulfed in flames, and then torrents of rain. It's like ashes, and they just dissolve in the Garbhadak ocean. So when in the morning, when it's time to again reestablish the creation, there's detail, specific. I mean, in the Sri Brahma Samhita and related texts from the Bhagavatam and elsewhere, Brahma takes the impression of the Virat Rup. It's like the blueprint before he goes, you know, to build the universe, to reconstruct the destroyed parts of the universe. So the message we're getting is the the planets and even the names of the planets and the positions of the planets, which he's responsible to do, they're the same, even the same names. So like these features of the creation, they're, Prabhupada is pointing this out, even today there are these yakshas and rakshasas somewhere in the universe. So it's just the karma of the living entity is becoming awakened, and according to the modes of nature they receive different positions. We're not used to like such strong element of goodness or such strong element of passion or such strong element of ignorance as we're finding here. We find, you know, much more of a mix and generally also milder. But there are living entities that are in this extreme case of passion and ignorance and demigods and goodness. And it's so extreme that Brahma has to go and plead for mercy and protection, because those who he's created are the opposite of protecting him. They're ready to eat him or have sex with him. Pretty awful. Who wants to be Brahma? No volunteers, huh? Every day, again and again. Like, let me out of here. Every day. The part that Prabhupada emphasizes the most, just go back and speak about that. The Lord accepts forms according to the devotion of his devotee. And it's not imaginary. It's not, you know, well, let me think of a form that I'd like, and then you just imagine a form that he appears in, that imaginary form. Not like that. The forms are eternal. And there's an alignment with the natural devotion for the Lord according to his form. Not imaginary or arbitrary. They're forms of the Lord, and living entities have natural attraction for those eternal forms of the Lord. And he manifests those forms according to the devotion of the devotee. Like a nice example, in, we all know this one, when Krishna left the Rasa dance and the gopis were looking, and Krishna to play a joke, he appeared as Narayan, and they all paid their obeisances, and, oh, you're the Supreme Lord Narayan, you must know which way Krishna went. But then when Radharani came, he couldn't, that the strength of her love was so great, he couldn't manifest all four arms, it became two arms. So his whereabouts was disclosed by the strength of Radha's love for him. Or in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Mahaprakash Leela, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is disclosing to the physician
Murari Gupta,
thank you, Murari Gupta, his form of Ram, or when he showed the form to, at least according to Chaitanya Bhagavat, he showed the form of Sadbuj to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Because previously, in a discussion with Gopinathacharya, he made the objection that the Lord is called, why are you saying he's the personality of Godhead? Where's the scripture for this? The Lord is known as Triyuga, and this is Kali Yuga. And so, Why are you saying he's the form of the Lord? The reply that Gopinathacharya gave was this term Triyuga indicates that there are Lila avatars in three of the yugas, but not in Kali Yuga, but there is a Yuga avatar in Kali Yuga. But anyway, what's the use of logic with a foolish person like you? Maybe that day will come when you will, by the mercy of the Lord, you'll understand. So he showed the form specifically, the Sadbuj form. Krishna, Rama, they're not Yuga avatars, they're Lila avatars. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he's the Supreme Lord, not only Yuga avatar, he's the Supreme Lord of all. He's the same, he's the original personality of Godhead. Anyway, in the purport, Prabhupada is saying that it's natural. The Lord is reciprocating with the love of his devotees according to rasa and according to form. Like his appearance in the prison house of Kamsa. Vasudeva Devaki wanted Krishna as their son, so their appeal was take the form of a child. The logic behind it was very illogical. The logic was, when Kamsa knows that my eighth child has been born, he'll immediately come and try to kill you. So if you assume a childlike form, it'll be easy to hide you. He's showing his forearm form of Vishnu, and they're devotees. They know who can kill Vishnu. But assume the childlike form, because then we can hide you. Then, you know, maybe Kamsa won't harm you. It's not logical. It's devotional. And so he assumed that form. But the earlier form was, he explicitly said, I'm showing you this form so that you know I'm not just your son, I'm the personality of Godhead, because you desired as your son someone like the personality of Godhead, but there's no one like me, I'm one of a kind, so I'm fulfilling your desire. It's the nature of the Supreme Lord, according to the natural devotion. Nice example from Ramayana. Hanuman saying, I know they're the same, but I like Sita Ram, and so the Lord has assumed this form, Sita Ram. So one may not be so scripturally educated. That's okay. The Lord assumes the form, that's the natural inclination for the devotee. He reciprocates like that. And for Lord Brahma, we're hearing very clearly in the Prabhupada's purport that Hari, meaning an interesting, it's not Garbhadakshay Vishnu, it's Shirodakshay Vishnu. But the good news is that's okay, because the three forms, there's a long discussion about this in Sri Brahma Samhita, but each of the Purusha avatars, while they have different names, it's not there's three different entities or three different supreme beings or something like that. Their names are according to their function. And so they're addressed according to their function. So you can, otherwise, there are examples from scripture where they're interchangeably presented. This is just a little detail. In his Krishna Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami is establishing the term Paribhasya Sutra. You know what the term means? The principal message of a scripture. example, in Nectar of Devotion, the Paribhasya Sutra is the one that Prabhupada, you know, we quote all the time. Anyabhilasha trishunyam jnana karmajana. The definition of bhakti is that verse, and that's what Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is about. It's about bhakti. The bhakti that's unmixed with karma and jnana. So that's the Paribhasya Sutra. Or in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's Eti Chamsa Kala Pungsa Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam. And then he gives a nice little definition. Three or four sentences, little paragraph. A Paribhasya Sutra has the following qualifications. Generally, it comes very early in the beginning of a composition. Two, it sets the standard or principle for which the whole rest of the literature simply expands or is the basis and support of whatever else follows. In the case of Sri Brahma Samhita, the Paribhasya Sutra is the first verse, the one that we all know. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha, that verse. And everything else that follows is expanding on that meaning. So the first is that, so Krishna is the personality of Godhead. He's the absolute truth, same as the Srimad Bhagavatam. So then he says, this is a little subtle, so listen carefully. He says, in that composition, there may be other verses written by the author, in this case Vyasadeva, compiling the Vedas, where something appears to be contradictory to that Paribhasya Sutra. And it's not that, so he warns, it's not that that takes precedent over the Paribhasya Sutra. Like, let's say, you know, everywhere it says that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there may be something over there, because of the context, it's spoken or written differently. So we don't nullify the many, many, many preponderance of other statements and the Paribhasya Sutra and say, just see, Krishna is not the Personality of Godhead. It's the other way around. That then needs to be interpreted. It's like the Sanskrit rule that says the direct meaning must be taken unless the context is such that the direct meaning is not appropriate. Then you can take secondary meanings. Only. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita as it is, not this means that. Not interpretation, but direct meaning. So he then gives examples. And one example he gives is from chapter 89 of the 10th canto, where Krishna and Arjuna are going to find the sons of the Brahmana that disappeared. You know that pastime. You know the pastime. No. Toward the end of the Bhagavata, 10th canto, but in Dwaraka, there was a Brahmana, like amongst many Brahmanas. But mysteriously, he had a number of sons, something like 10 sons. The sons were born, they were alive. Not born, then soon died. They just disappeared. And one after the next, they just disappeared. So then the Brahmana started criticizing Krishna. What kind of personality is he? And Ugrasena, what kind of king is he? That a son of a Brahmana is born and they just disappear and they just disappear. What kind of king? And he was like speaking like that. See, it even happens in Dwarka. What to speak of, you know, the internet. So, Arjuna happened to be there, and Arjuna heard, and he went to the Brahmana and said, "I give this vow that one more child, you let me know when the child is about to be delivered. I will personally come with my bow and arrow and make sure the child is safe, and if I fail, then I'll end my life. Like, I'm going to protect the honor of Krishna. I'm Arjuna." So the Brahmana was very pacified. another pregnancy, another child was to be born. Arjuna came and with his arrows he created a fortress. With his arrows he created an impenetrable fortress. The child was born and then disappeared. And the Brahmana said, what kind of chatra are you? What kind of master do you have? This is, you know, you're rubbish. So Arjuna looked here, looked there, looked everywhere, couldn't find the child. And so because he had given his vow, he set a funeral, he had like a fire and was ready to enter into the fire. And Krishna stopped and said, I know where the children are. Don't do this, Arjuna, let's go. Then cut his chariot and zoom, zoom. They went, you know, through the universe. They went through the coverings of the universe. It's like a very detailed description. Sariputta Prabhu would regularly refer to that, like, you know, the structure of the universe, and it's very similar, no coincidence, very similar to what we find in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, because it's a commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam. So into the spiritual sky, and so dazzling, brilliantly bright, they had to squint and close their eyes, and they went to the abode of Mahavishnu. And interestingly, when the abode of Mahavishnu, because he's unlimited, he's not always lying in the causal ocean. In this case, he was in a palace. And when they came before Mahavishnu, Mahavishnu greeted Krishna and Arjuna, addressing Krishna as my expansion. And when your pastimes are over, you can come back here. Jiva Goswami points to that as an example of in a particular context that's spoken in a certain way. And even he goes so far as to say, Jiva Goswami says, this is Mahavishnu's opinion. But in any case, it's to be taken in context of the Paribhasya Sutra. So that's like an embellishment to all of this. The process of creation that the Bhagavatam is introducing in a number of chapters in a number of places, and just like you're reading in the second canto, you'll encounter some of the same, lots of detail. The important thing is what? The important thing is there's a source of everything. Krishna is the source of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. Matak sarvam pravartate. Sarvasya, commentary says, means everything, matter and spirit. So Krishna is the source of matter. Krishna is the source of spirit. He is the source of everything. Everything comes from him. He's the absolute truth. Okay, well, that's a nice statement. Can you detail it a little bit? It's like somebody might say something. You know, I know how to celebrate Janmashtami. Oh, that's interesting. Can you describe how you're supposed to celebrate Janmashtami? Let's have some details. So this is some of the details. Krishna is the source of everything. And through his empowered representatives, he does things. So that's what we're getting here. Krishna is acting through his agent, Lord Brahma. And although he's sometimes referred to as the creator, that comment may be made, the bigger picture should be understood. He's the sub-creator. He is the engineer. And ultimately, Krishna is the source. So these different similes, I was saying all this example, these different Vishnus are there, and Lord Brahma is going to Shiradakshay Vishnu. That's okay. It's actually one and the same. Different, according to their function. He's going to Shiradakshay Vishnu. Help. Okay, any discussion? Yes. I don't know if there's a certain number, I'm just remembering. It's towards the beginning. Generally, it's very concise. It sets the standard for, and everything subsequent is elucidating that. So that's what a sutra is. It's a very compact Paribhasya sutra, very compact. It's not detailed. It's very compact and concise. And unpack it comes the whole scripture. And at the moment I can't think of, there are one or two other features, but I can't remember them. I can find it and send it to you. Jiva Goswami says it's in Krishna Sandarbha, and it's part of the presentation that I'm making for Sri Brahma Samhita. I'll find it and send it to you. Yeah. So the other 999, there's also Yuga Avatar chanting, but chanting of the name of Vishnu, not chanting of the name of Krishna that gives one the love of Krishna in Vrindavan, Vraja Prem. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is the most merciful, most munificent, because he gives what no one ever offered before, that kind of love. Yes? Yeah? No, this is the universe. The prototype ones are as before there's a universe, before even Garbhadakshaya Vishnu enters into the universe, and then Brahma comes, and then... Because the demigods are also there. And they're not the prototype ones, they're the universal ones. Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.